Hallmark Channel and British Sky Broadcasting presents The Good Witch's Garden, starring Catherine Bell, Chris Potter, Catherine Disher, Peter McNeil, Rob Stewart, Matthew Knight, Elizabeth Lenny, and Hannah Endicott Douglas. Written by G. Ross Parker. Based on characters by Rod Spence. Directed by Craig Price. Audio described by Penelope Parisi on behalf of MCS Agency. Close-up images of a variety of flowers through the seasons. Exotic, colourful flowers in full bloom attract an abundance of beautiful yellow butterflies. As summer turns to autumn, the leaves start to fall off of the trees. A leaf flutters to the ground, landing on the black shoe of a well-dressed middle-aged lady wearing a pink tartan cape. She shakes her foot to flick it off, then continues to walk up a path with her friend towards a large, isolated house.
Look at it. Just look at it. Looks like a lovely home to me.
The two ladies approach a black wrought iron gate at the front of the property. The grey stone house with Georgian windows stands proud amidst a large garden with a sweeping drive. The ladies quietly open the gate and creep into the front garden.
Come on. Stay close.
The ladies sidle their way round to the rear of the house. The lady in the cape takes a photograph of red climbing roses adorning a white trellis arch.
Here, take a look. Oh, a delicate rose of Warsaw. But at this time of year, after the first frost, it's bizarre.
They take a closer look at the flowers.
Oh, it's as if summer never ended around here. Don't! If you don't know what it is, you don't know what it will do.
Martha, it's a flower.
Yes, one of her flowers. And if there is one thing that I know about Miss Cassie Nightingale, it's one never knows.
Oh, stop fretting. This is the perfect setting for the bicentennial celebration.
But it's such an important event. Why celebrate the town's traditions with the most untraditional woman in town?
Because her house is 200 years old. It's a landmark. And the woman obviously has a green thumb.
Probably green all over, like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Martha's startled by ivy that has become entwined around her ankle. The two women run out of the garden. Watching their movements from behind a bush is Cassie Nightingale, a pretty young woman with long flowing black hair. A wry smile spreads across her face as the women flee. Two children run up to Cassie.
Did you hear that?
It sounded like a banshee.
Get real. There's no such thing.
Really, Cassie?
Well, maybe it was Mother Nature yawning in preparation for a long winter's nap.
I could use a nap myself.
You better take a break, Grandpa.
I wish Mother Nature would stop blowing back all the leaves we just raked up.
Well, she blew quite a few up against the back fence. Why not pile all your leaves there and build a mountain to jump into?
Well, I'm just about ready to throw in the trowel.
Well, it's no wonder, George. We haven't eaten since noon. Do you want a bite?
What's that?
It's tonight's salad. Organic.
I'm not much for rabbit food.
Oh, the rabbits wouldn't touch my garden.
Why not?
Well, we have an understanding.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Everyone's welcome to visit my garden, but I made the rabbits promise no munching.
You've made a wonderful home here, Cassie.
Thank you. That's why I'm digging extra deep today, so the roots really take hold. Found my one true home here, George. I can finally say, this is where I belong.
In town, Martha walks purposefully along the street, then into the police station.
Miss Tinsdale?
Good afternoon, Miss Tinsdale.
Well, that's debatable.
Can I help you?
No. This is a matter that needs to be investigated by your chief of police. It concerns Miss Cassie Nightingale.
Well, go ahead, Martha.
I was standing outside Grey House, minding my own business, when the monster seized my ankle.
Cassie grabbed your ankle?
What? No, no, it was her creeper.
Her what?
A vine on the ground that creeps.
It's a very unusual plant.
She has a garden full of freakish plants, some of which I suspect may be illegal.
Well, it sounds to me like you tripped on a root.
We can't have her hosting the opening night gala of our bicentennial if the grounds are unsafe. I insist that you fully investigate what she's growing in there.
If you insist, Martha.
I do. The citizens of Middleton are entitled to a full report. Out of my way.
Jeepers creepers.
The chief of police shakes his head in bewilderment. Later, he pulls up in his squad car outside Cassie Nightingale's house. He walks round into the garden, where he finds her tending her plants.
Cassandra Nightingale.
Guilty, officer.
I'm conducting an investigation. Looking good.
Well, thank you. Your kids and George and I have been gardening all afternoon.
I wasn't talking about the garden, but that looks good, too.
Oh.
They kiss.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, kids.
Something wrong, Brandon?
Yeah, I just skinned my elbow, that's all.
Let me see that. Just the thing.
She tears off the tip of a thick, waxy, flowerless plant.
Essence of aloe.
Cassie rubs it over Brandon's grazed elbow.
There, good to go.
Thanks. Bye, Dad.
Bye.
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 See you tomorrow, Cassie.
Bye.
Thanks for the $5.
You want a cup of tea, Jake?
Cassie, Martha Tinsdale claims that she was attacked by one of your plants.
Oh, really? One of the creepers?
I know the plant didn't just go after her.
Oh, well, then you know my plants better than I do.
Well, what? You're saying that one of your plants actually grabbed Mrs. Tinsdale?
Grab? No, never. But it might have given her a little hug.
A hug? Well, she's not sharing the love. She's threatening to move your bicentennial garden party to another location.
No, why?
She claims your house is unsafe.
But it's just the opposite. Grey House is a true haven. I'm even thinking of taking in overnight guests to help with the bills, but I mean, if Martha...
You really shouldn't pay my kids to help.
Oh, $5 is a bargain, and I love being with them.
They love being with you.
Yeah, they do a great job, and I need lots of help. Every last leaf has got to shine.
Jake refers to a dead-looking plant.
Maybe we should get rid of this.
Oh, no, 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 no. The Veritas is going to be beautiful. Just in time for the bicentennial.
You know, Cassie, you really have done a great job with this place.
Thanks. I better go have a word with that creeper.
Jake nods. Laurie, carrying a bundle of books, walks with her brother along a street.
Your teacher's really piling on, huh?
I have to do a history report with Jess about Middleton.
This town? A lot of books about a place where nothing happens. Here.
He picks up her book.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. But look, if I run into Steve or Duke, you gotta get lost. Fast.
How come?
'Cause they're my friends, and... they don't hang out with little girls, okay?
They walk past a handsome, well-dressed man sitting on a bench reading a paper. The man has ringed an ad. It reads, Historic Bed and Breakfast. Owner Cassandra Nightingale opens 200-year-old Grey House to guests. A picture shows Cassie outside the elegant house. The man smiles wryly to himself. At Grey House.
Well, I'll be back and pick you up around 6.
Okay, I'll try to wash the topsoil off by then.
In the back garden, Cassie finds George digging over the flower beds.
What are you smiling about?
People who live in glass houses shouldn't hold hands.
Nosy.
Look, it warmed the cockles of my heart just to see it.
Plants usually keep those windows fogged up.
It wasn't the plants fogging the windows. Well, I should go. Kids are probably going to need dinner.
Oh, well, they already have their dinner. I just sent it off with Jay. Homemade chili, heat and serve.
Well, thank you very much. But I guess I should go anyway. They might need some help with their homework.
George, you do an amazing job with those two. You help Jake. Give him so much time and love. What about a little time and love for you?
Those kids give me all the love I need.
Cassie studies a plant that she is holding in her hands.
Aphids?
I don't know. Are you going to stop by the nursery?
I could.
Would you have someone there take a look?
Yeah, sure thing.
And if they have some natural remedy, would you pick it up? I thought I had more money than that.
You just bought 4 bags of grass seed and paid 2 kids. It takes a lot of green to keep a garden green.
Yes, it does. And add that to the upkeep on Gray House. Fuel bills. That's why I've decided to open it up to a few guests.
Well, you certainly have enough room.
Bed and breakfast. If you could get to the nursery before it closes. My B&B. Beautiful and bewitching.
The man who had ringed the ad for the bed and breakfast walks up the path to the wrought iron gates of the property and lets himself in. He then pauses as he admires the house before him.
There you are, Isis.
Holding her black cat in her arms, the man is spooked by Cassie's sudden appearance by his side.
Looking for a place to stay?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I am.
Well, I haven't established any rates yet, but I'm sure they'll be reasonable.
I'll get the better of the bargain staying in a place as beautiful as this. I'm Nick. Nick Chasen.
Welcome, Nick. Adam Cassie Nightingale. And this is my friend and advisor, Isis. And that is Gray House.
Gray House. Doesn't look gray to me. It's a lot cheerier than that.
A lot of work into it. Would you like to see your room?
Yes. Yes, I would. I'm sure it's as beautiful on the inside as it is on the outside.
Cassie smiles and leads him up to the house. George pulls up in his red truck at a garden centre. Inside, a group of ladies are holding a meeting for their gardening club.
Order of business. Flowers for the bicentennial reviewing stand. Cicely.
I thought mums. Mums are seasonal.
And affordable.
And colorful, too.
True. But since this is such a special occasion, I was thinking of something a little more exotic.
Excuse me?
Oh, sir, we ask that all spouses wait outside.
Oh, I'm not married.
Sir, the nursery closed at 4, and, you're disrupting a private meeting of the garden club.
If I could just...
Now, what were we talking about?
Mums. Mums, the word?
How can we help you?
This plant seems to have a rare infestation.
What sort of plant do you have there?
A Croton codiaeum revolution. Oh. Looks like a cross between a Sorhastrum nutans and a Lord Patellum. Did you cultivate this yourself, Mr.?
Oh, Hanrahan. I helped. A little.
Don't be modest. I've never seen anything quite like this. You must be an extraordinary gardener.
I'm Irish. They don't call it the Emerald Isle for nothing.
She stares deeply into his eyes, then gestures to the other ladies to come and have a look at the plant.
I've never seen anything like this. Look at the way it curls. It's quite something.
to Jake's house.
The town turns 200 years old, right?
I guess.
Maybe we should divide the work down the middle. You could do the first 100 years, and I could do the last. Deal?
Sure.
Did you read the chapter on the Civil War? Maybe that's the major event we can write about.
I forgot to feed my fish.
Oh. Hi.
Hey.
Ooh, a lot of homework?
Tons. Our teacher assigned us with partners, and I got stuck with Jess.
Not much help?
No, she works for like 5 minutes, and then she runs away and leaves me with everything.
Well, it's too bad she had to leave, because she's going to miss having that homemade chili that Cassie made for you.
Brandon! You can hear the bass in the kitchen.
Thanks. You didn't have to turn it off. You just had to turn it down.
No big deal.
Your buddy Tim called.
Whatever. I got some new friends now.
Oh, you do? Who?
Does it matter?
Well, yeah, I'm your dad, so I like to know these things.
Why?
Well, because. I mean, you don't want to talk to me about your new friends?
Am I under surveillance or something?
Come on.
Jake leaves Brandon playing on a DS in his room. In the kitchen, George gets some plates out of a cupboard.
Brandon's got a new group of friends, so I asked him about it. Is that out of line?
Teenagers hate the third degree.
They climb up with you?
No, but I don't ask questions.
What do you do?
Just listen.
What time is it? Oh, George, I gotta go.
Don't you like Cassie's cooking?
No, I'm eating out tonight with Cassie.
At Gray House, Nick skulks around in the drawing room. He eyes up the ornaments in the room, then studies a collection of books lined up on a bookcase. Sitting territorially on a piece of furniture, Isis the cat watches him. Nick spies a small padlocked chest on the shelf, but diverts his attention to a book as he hears Cassie approaching.
Potions and libations of ancient Morocco.
I like to give my guests some variety.
And some tea.
Thank you.
Perfection. And I must say, Cassie, I'm feeling very much at home here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've designed it that way.
You're well-traveled, like me. I can see that reflected in the decor. You're drawn to the exotic, the adventurous, the unusual.
My proudest possession. Portrait of the Gray Lady. Elizabeth Merriwick, the original owner of Gray House. Long ago, she married a naval officer.
And they spent 2 passionate months together. Until he was called to duty, never to return. Elizabeth kept a candle in the window for 28 years. Until one night, the candle went out. And they found Elizabeth dead, of a broken heart.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Cassie?
Hey, sweetheart.
The door was open. Am I early?
No, you're just right. Hi.
Okay.
Sorry, this is,
Nick. Nick Chasen.
Jake Russell.
Jake is our chief of police.
Ah, hail to the chief.
And, Nick was just telling me about the Gray Lady. How could you possibly know so much about my ancestor?
Because I'm a blood descendant of Captain Charles Charlie Hamblin.
Cassie and Jake are stunned by his revelation.
So there really was a sea captain by the name of Charles Hamlet?
Yes. I'm living proof. Well, Miss Nightingale. Nice to have met you, Chief.
Nice to meet you.
Jake follows Nick out of the room into the hall and is surprised to see him climbing the stairs.
He just went upstairs.
Yeah, that's where his bedroom is. He's a guest, my first.
You think that's a good idea?
Well, I have to pay for the home improvement somehow.
But who is he?
He's Nick Chasen.
What else do you know about him?
Well, I know that he's paid in advance, and he's a complete gentleman, and a distant relative. I find that very interesting.
Well, let me check him out.
Jake, he just checked in.
Jake wears a look of deep concern upon his face. A new day. Cassie is in the kitchen, stirring a mixture in a large black pot on her gas stove.
Cassie?
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. What are you making?
Oh, oatmeal for my guest. Do you want some?
She shakes her head.
Aren't you supposed to be in school?
I'm on my way. That's why I'm here. I'm having some trouble with my schoolwork.
Oh, yeah? What subject? Chemistry?
History.
I need some more cinnamon.
I'm working with one of my classmates on a report, but she's driving me crazy.
Uh-oh.
Whenever it's time to do work, she runs off to feed her fish.
She cares about them.
She doesn't care about our report. I was wondering, do you have some kind of magic?
Do you mean a spell to make her do her homework? It's not easy getting kids to do their homework. I know. Follow me.
Cassie leads her to an old box positioned on a shelf in the orangery.
Curious things came with the solarium.
What is that?
I'm not sure. Something to do with my garden. Maybe you and Jess can figure it out.
But we're supposed to do our report on a big event that happened in our town's history.
Well, big trees from little acorns grow.
Outside a grocer's in town.
And so Duke yells,
fire!
And I go stuff all the paper towels down all the girls' toilets until the
holy floods!
Classic.
Pardon me. You should have been there.
Oh, yeah. Water in down the pool.
Cicely dodges the boys, then crosses the street towards Cassie.
Good afternoon, Cicely.
Whatever happened to common courtesy?
From the opposite side of the street, Cassie keeps a watchful eye on Brandon.
That's funny.
So, what's your idea?
Oh, I remember something my dad told me that was pretty funny.
Your dad?
Well, yeah. See, he changed the tape in the church tower, so instead of bells, play Led Zeppelin.
No, dude, that's lame. Like, if you want in, you're gonna have to do something huge.
Like what?
Don't worry about it. We'll let you know.
Yeah, later.
Brandon frowns to himself. On a notice board in town, Martha sticks up posters for the Middleton Bicentennial celebrations.
Good afternoon, Martha.
Miss Nightingale?
Chief Russell told me you had an encounter with one of my creepers.
Do you doubt it?
Oh, not at all. I just wondered if you had any chafing or allergic reaction.
I'm perfectly fine. The matter is closed.
Because I have some special ointment in my shop.
I'm not in the mood for your black magic this morning.
You seem very troubled by something today.
I understand that you have a paying guest staying at Grey House.
Well, only one so far, but I have room for a couple more.
You're also hosting our bicentennial party. Do you want our distinguished guest to think of Grey House as some sort of a flop house for vagrants?
Bed and breakfast, Martha.
Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, the extra income will help pay some bills. You know how it is with these fixer-uppers.
But I mean, throwing open your doors to strangers off the street.
Well, they won't be strangers for long.
Frankly, I don't believe that you're the best judge of people.
I don't judge people, Martha, especially when I first meet them. People have a way of showing you who they really are if you just give them time.
Whatever that means.
You're welcome to stop by and meet them anytime.
Well, that'll be a cold day in July.
Martha stomps off down the street in the garden at Grey House.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I'm working on it. It's a perfect opportunity to take advantage of the situation. Okay, gotta go.
Taking care of business?
It never ends.
For you and me both. So, did you do any sightseeing today?
No. To tell you the truth, I'm perfectly happy just to stay here.
Yeah, Grey House does have a magnetic quality, doesn't it?
Yes. Keeps whispering to me, stay, stay.
Sure that wasn't the hiss of my boiler pipes? I need to replace those as soon as I can afford it.
Well, old houses are an expensive proposition.
Yes, they are.
A house you once thought historic and charming suddenly becomes a money pit.
Well, my love for Grey House is unconditional. How does the old poem go? Thanks. Even the weariest river winds its way safe to sea. This home is the end of a very long journey for me.
Yes, you've been through so much in your life.
What do you mean, my life?
Well, only that a real home is that much more important to the orphan who spent so many years wandering.
Who told you that?
I had a great aunt in Baltimore. She mapped the entire family tree. You were one of the most interesting branches.
Well, I would love to see that sometime.
In town, Deputy Derek walks along the high street, eating the remains of his sandwich. He enters a bakery and coffee shop and joins Jake, who is working on his laptop at a table.
Say, that guy Cassie took in? He was something else.
What happened?
He offered to buy me a donut.
Really? Why am I not surprised?
But I told him that cops and donuts was a crude stereotype. So he apologized, and he offered to buy me a whole bag of donuts.
Oh, good.
Nice guy. Good looking, too.
Yeah, I haven't noticed.
It's like a movie star or something.
Yeah, just like he's playing a part.
You gotta lighten up, Jake. He seems like an okay guy to me.
Seems. I'm not buying it. I've been climbing his family tree. There's a lot of limbs missing. I can't find anything about this great ancestor of his, Captain Hamlin.
And what does Cassie think?
Same as she always thinks. She operates on intuition. I'm gonna get the facts.
Jake turns off and closes up his laptop. In the hall at Grey House, Cassie cuddles and whispers to Isis. Nick stands at the top of the stairs.
Hello, Nick.
Isis screeches at Nick as she passes him on the stairs.
Superstitious?
No, not at all.
That old myth always bothered Isis. Would you hand me my broom?
Yeah.
Nick picks up the witch's broom, which is propped up against the balustrade. He looks at it curiously before passing it to Cassie. She starts to sweep the hall floor with it.
You make even the simplest tasks seem like torture. You ever stop working?
Big house is a big responsibility.
That it is. It's a shame no one took you up in your ad. These are tough times right now. Still, I'm enjoying our private time together.
Good. You can help me sweep.
He obliges. At Jake's house, Laurie studies the small carved wooden item that Cassie gave her.
Do you think it has magic powers or something?
You think?
Maybe. It belongs to Cassie Nightingale. Is that writing? Can you read it?
Sure.
Saved my life. 1816.
In an adjacent room, George talks on the telephone.
Now, I think it's the smallest bulbs that bloom the earliest. No, but don't quote me on it. Gwen! Come here. I usually plant them about a foot deep. Six inches. No, wait, a foot. Yeah, you're welcome. For what it's worth. Goodbye, Cicely.
Cicely Price? Vice President of the Garden Club?
Oh, boy, she sure asks a lot of questions.
Well, I don't have a question for you, but I do have an answer. Remember the pests on that plant you brought in?
I'll let the answering machine get it.
Hi, George. I'm putting in the wooden stakes for next season's tomatoes, and I wonder, would you have an extra hammer in your tool chest? Maybe I could swing on over and borrow it.
Is that our treasurer, Mrs. Carlisle?
Oh, I don't know. I only have eyes for one girl. And that's my special angel, Laurie, here.
Laurie waves.
Mrs. Harrison, I'd like you to meet my favorite girl in the world, my granddaughter, Laurie.
And this is my friend, Jess.
That's a very fine-looking dibble.
Dribble?
Dibble.
What's that?
It's a gardening tool. That one looks handmade. A long, long time ago.
We still use them to dig a little hole to plant a seed.
Laurie, you think this thing is real history?
Yeah.
And look at that, Grandpa.
Saved my life, 1816. Well, that's interesting.
You know, I believe the Historical Society has some books on colonial gardening.
Thanks, Mrs. Harrison. Let's go. Thanks, Grandpa.
You have a lovely granddaughter.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Australian aphid.
Beg your pardon?
You wanted to know the name of that pest. It's definitely Australian aphid.
Thank you.
But you'll have to act quickly. Do you have a pen, Mr. O'Hanrahan?
Call me George.
You seem to be very busy. I'll let you go.
Gwen.
In the garden at Grey House, Cassie sits at a table potting plants.
Hi.
What time is it?
It's 6:10.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, give me 5 minutes, okay?
Oh, it's okay. Not a rush. I'm not much for sequels anyway.
Sorry about that. I just lost track of time with the house and the shop and the garden.
And the guest.
You don't like him, do you?
Well, I haven't known him long enough to form an opinion. I do know he's moved around a lot in the past 5 years.
Yeah, Jake, so did I. Till I found Grey House. Maybe runs in the family.
I haven't found any details about his connection to the captain.
Talk to Nick.
Talk to him? Why would I believe him?
Are you saying he's a liar?
No, I'm just saying keep your distance, that's all.
Jake Russell, you're jealous.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Who, Slick?
Just because he's handsome and charming.
Oh, now it comes out.
No, what's just come out is that you don't trust me.
No, it's your guest I don't trust.
Oh, have a little faith in people.
Cassie, after 18 years of being a cop, I've learned a few things. Bad things can happen to good people.
Well, just think of all the good things you'd miss out on if you always had that attitude.
Cassie, you have this wonderful way of bringing out the best in people. I just don't want anyone to take advantage of that.
I'm not worried.
Well, maybe you should be. And you can't afford to be too trusting.
I can't afford not to.
I know you got bills. I know.
Jake, a life where you can't trust people is a pretty poor life.
Just promise me.
I know what I'm doing.
In the bakery in town, Martha stands at the counter choosing cakes.
Hello, Mrs. Tinsdale.
I'm sorry, have we met?
No, but I'm about to remedy that. My name is Nick Chasen.
have I heard that name?
I'm staying at Gray House.
Oh, yes, well, I'm just picking up some pastries and tea. To go.
Tea in a cardboard cup? No, no. I won't allow that.
Oh, but
why don't you share my Earl Grey?
Oh, but
it's perfectly steeped. In a china cup? May I?
Well, if you insist.
You know, this is the first really good cup of tea I've had since I've come to Middleton.
Oh?
No offense to Miss Nightcap. Oh, no, no, we won't be needing that. Martha doesn't take sugar in her tea.
Now, how on earth do you know that?
Martha, any woman savvy enough to wear this scarf with this jacket knows you don't dilute a good blend with cane sugar.
Oh. You impress me as someone with impeccable taste.
Well, it takes one to know one.
Oh!
Clinking their teacups together, they toast one another. Brandon helps Cassie clear up leaves in her garden.
Should hire your friends to help us out. I haven't seen them around here in a while.
Me neither.
Well, good friends are hard to come by, I know. When I was a teen, I moved around a lot. The minute I made new friends, I was off to the next foster home. Making new friends was just as hard as losing the old ones.
I guess so.
I guess every teen goes through changes. Mine just seemed enormous. I had so many questions and no one I felt I could really talk to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a pretty rough time as a teen.
In the orangery, Cassie opens up an old birdcage and retrieves a small silver-framed mirror.
This helped me through those times. Maybe it'll help you.
A mirror?
When all the questions were spinning around in my head, I just took a good long look at myself and the answer would come.
Is it magic? Do I talk to it?
You just take a good long look at yourself.
Thanks.
Brandon, don't sit down. You might have 7 years bad luck.
Oh, thanks, Cassie.
Brandon takes the mirror out of his back pocket. In the mayor's office, Martha conducts a meeting.
Hopefully, Miss Nightingale will keep her keynote speech short. When she's finished, Miss Cicely Price will sing her original composition entitled...
You're a grand old grey house, in honor of its 200th year.
And then let's keep the music going with, a parade.
A big parade. Down the hill to town square.
With floats. Made from flowers.
A dozen floats, each one depicting a key event in the town's 200-year history.
It sounds expensive.
Mayor Tinsdale, it's our 200th birthday party.
And we need to close the event with some kind of a big bang.
Fireworks. Sir, we can't afford it. We can't afford any of this.
Well, I think you'll find fireworks can be very reasonable if you have connections.
Excuse me, you're not on this committee.
No, sir, I'm not. But I would love to serve under your lovely wife, Martha, here. You see, we've been talking about how to add some pizzazz to this party. We can't expect Cassie's speech to carry the event.
Mr. Chasen is an accomplished businessman. Please, you were saying... Nick.
Thank you. You see, folks, there was a lot of rain on the 4th last summer. Now, I have an old associate who is sitting on a warehouse that is full of fireworks. Now, I bet I can persuade him to sell us those fireworks at a fraction of the cost.
Well, now what do you say to fireworks?
Oh, and Mr. Mayor, for the finale, I was thinking, firework tableau. Why don't we recreate the original town flag of Middleton?
Oh, marvelous.
Now, where would I get an image of that original town flag?
Right up the stairs, beside the records office, is the Historical Society.
Excellent.
Later, Nick, looking smug, slips some documents into his briefcase as he walks along the street. Jake sits in his squad car, watching him.
We found him, Derek.
Where was he?
Meeting with the Bicentennial Committee.
Sounds like a major felony to me. Throw the book at him.
Very funny. Out.
Mr. Chasen?
Yes, officer.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Could it wait? I have to get back to Gray House.
I'll walk with you.
Terrific. Police escort.
Made a lot of friends in Middleton.
Yes, it's a friendly town.
You're a friendly guy.
Is that a crime, officer?
No. No, I just wondered how you knew so much about Cassie Nightingale.
Not sure what you mean.
Well, you know about her parents. They passed away. You know that she was in a foster home, that she ran away.
Yeah. Fascinating woman, isn't she?
Personal stuff. Just answer the question.
Chief Russell, Cassie and I share a common heritage, common ancestors. We even share the same home.
You don't seem like a sharing type.
Is this interrogation open?
No, I wondered why you were asking the town clerk about the taxes on Gray House.
I was curious. Curious to see how much a home like that would cost me. I like this town, and I'd like a home of my own.
Ah.
Well, then you're sure to find it.
Cassie. What are you doing here?
Oh, vacuum bags. Broom needed a break.
And I need two strong men. Looks like I found them.
At Gray House, the two men move a plant for Cassie.
Stop. It's perfect. Just needs a little less sun.
Needs something.
You'll see, the Veritas has a way of surprising you. Just wait. Blooms are like nothing you've ever seen or smelled.
Cassie, I'm afraid it's dead.
With love and a little water, the Veritas will burst into color on the day of the bicentennial celebration.
Veritas, that's Latin for truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Anyone near it can't help but tell the truth.
I doubt that.
Yeah, then just stand right there and answer one question. What do you think of my plant?
It's hideous.
See? It's working already.
If you'll excuse me, I'm gonna get into something more comfortable.
Can I speak to you for a minute?
Sure.
I've been doing some digging.
Oh, I get the feeling you're not talking about gardening.
Did you know this guy's been examining your tax records?
Jake.
What? It's a matter of public record.
Well, then he hasn't done anything wrong.
Neither have I.
Okay, I thought we had an understanding. You were going to leave it up to me.
I just know he's got to be some kind of con man. I want to take a look around his room.
Jake.
When he's out to dinner.
Not another word.
For heaven's sake, Cassie, can't you see that he's not on the level?
Well, I'll tell you what I see. I see a man whose heart was broken when his wife died. And now he protects himself by expecting the worst from everyone.
This isn't about my heart.
Well, I think it is.
Why are you being so hard-headed?
Why are you being so hard-hearted? Look, just trust that the truth will show itself.
Cassie, come on, get real.
I guess our realities are just out of sync right now.
I guess so. What do you expect?
The best. For both of us.
Well, look at us. I'm a cop, and you're who you always are.
You say that as if it's a bad thing.
It's just, we're so different. That's all.
Got 83 different species in my garden, and they all get along just fine. Some tea?
No, thank you. I should go.
Cassie is downcast as Jake starts to head out of the kitchen. In the hall, Nick watches him leave from partway up the stairs.
Have a nice day, Chief.
Jake looks at Nick, but chooses to ignore his comment, then exits via the front door. Nick wears a gleeful expression on his face at Jake's abrupt departure. Nighttime. Inside the dark house, Nick is in his dressing gown. He quietly descends the stairs using a torch to illuminate the way. He pauses on the stairs as the floorboards creak, then continues down them into the hall. In the drawing room, he returns to the small chest and begins to pick the lock. successfully opens the chest and begins to rummage through its contents. He finds a small black diary with a locked clasp. Undeterred by the security feature, he picks the lock with a small file, then with his index finger slides open the clasp. He takes a seat in an armchair. Using the torch, he begins to read through the pages of handwritten entries. Startled by a noise of a kettle, Nick heads into the kitchen to find Cassie making a pot of tea.
Did I wake you? Sorry, I couldn't sleep.
For a moment, I thought this house was haunted.
Oh, of course it is. All sorts of souls and scoundrels up and about at night. Tea?
No, thanks. As a matter of fact, yesterday I heard loud voices coming from this kitchen. A man and woman arguing.
Yes, I heard them too.
The couple was arguing about nothing, really. This awful man refused to hear what the lovely lady was saying. Spooky, huh?
Nick, you have extraordinary powers of perception. Almost as keen as mine.
Nick stares evenly at her. The next day, at the sheriff's house, George sits at the dining table reading the papers as Jake pours a cup of coffee.
Why don't you pack a lunch today? I've got Mrs. Lacey's shepherd's pie, got a vegetarian stew from Mrs. Buxton, your choice of three desserts from... I forget.
No, thanks.
I'm running out of room in the refrigerator.
Sorry. What were you saying, George?
Wake up, Chief. I'm just saying most guys would be happy to have a half a dozen women chasing after them. And me, I think I'm a one-woman kind of guy. Jake, what's the matter with you this morning?
Oh, Cassie and I had a fight.
About what?
Well, not now.
Look, I don't know what happened, but I know this. Cassie means the world to those kids. And to me. And to you. You hang in there.
Jake absorbs George's advice. On a street corner in town, Brandon leans up against a lamppost, looking into the mirror that Cassie gave him.
What the heck is that?
Just a mirror.
You fixing your hair?
So, what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do? Maybe we could climb the school sign and change letters?
Oh, sounds like fun, if you're a fourth grader.
Or maybe we could go and...
No. Look, we've got your mission all figured out.
Cool. What is it?
Trash that stupid bicentennial.
I don't think I want to do that.
It doesn't matter what you want.
Besides, you can't back out now. Why not?
Because you know too much.
It's just, I don't want to wreck it for...
Look, if you wimp out on us, then we'll wreck you. That's a promise.
Brandon looks troubled. At the police station, Nick enters Jake's office.
What are you doing here?
Is that how you greet your taxpayers?
Well, you don't pay taxes. State your business.
I just brought you a little reading material.
What's this?
Read them and weep. Oh, my lawyer will be in touch.
Hey. Why so glum, chum?
You want a cookie?
It's got icing.
Chocolate chips. What is that?
This is for Cassie Nightingale.
Having cast an eye over the documents handed to him, Jake becomes very concerned. At the library, the girls sit at a table looking through books for their project.
Save My Life 1816. How could this save his life?
Maybe a bear wandered into his cabin and he used the dibble to defend himself. You got any better ideas?
Well, we need to know everything that happened in 1816.
Here, you read this and I'll take notes.
Lori, I gotta tell you something. Something I've never told anybody.
Yeah?
Well, it's the reason I kept running off before. I can't read.
Jake pulls up outside Grey House in his police car. Holding the documents in his hand, he gets out of the car and heads for the front door.
About the other day?
No, it's not.
Oh, I see. What's it about then?
I'm afraid I have to give you this.
He hands Cassie a notice to vacate.
Does he have a strong legal claim to the house?
Well, you have a handwritten will that's not notarized. He has an ironclad chain of title, proving the house belongs to his family, which makes Nick the sole heir.
This is my home. It's my anchor. I can't lose Grey House.
I'm going to take those documents to the town attorney and see what options we have.
Yeah, but this says I have to be out of here in 2 weeks. He's taking more than my home. He's taking my heritage. Elizabeth Merriwick was Captain Hamblin's lover, not his wife. So that means she never had any claim to Grey House in the first place.
And she stole the property from the Hamblin family.
Which makes the Grey Lady a thief. Who knows what that makes me?
Cassie, you're a smart, loving, magical woman. I'll do whatever it takes. We'll fight this together.
Cassie stares at Jake with doleful eyes. In town, Martha and Cicely sip on tea together whilst enjoying a gossip.
So the Grey Lady was the captain's lover, not wife, lover. Cassie Nightingale had a portrait of a common criminal hanging in her parlor.
So all this time, Miss Nightingale has been
nothing but a squatter. Thievery and deception, that's her inheritance. But you can't say I didn't warn you.
But what about her bicentennial garden party?
Scratch that, it's Nick's garden party now, and much the better for it.
Has he said he'll do it?
Well, of course he'll do it. He's on my committee, isn't he?
An aerial view of the living room at Grey House, with all the furniture in situ. Time passes, and there is evidence around the room of Cassie starting to pack up. Shelves are empty, and cardboard boxes are full of her possessions. More time lapses, and the room has been completely packed up. The portrait of the Grey Lady has been removed from the wall, and the armchairs have dust sheets covering them. Nighttime, Cassie stands alone in the room surveying the empty surroundings. With her arms folded across her chest, she sighs deeply.
Welcome. George, you shouldn't have.
Oh, I didn't. It's a manicotti from Mrs. Fazzullo.
Please, come on in.
Come on, kids.
Hi.
Jake and his family sadly make their way through the empty, candlelit rooms of the house.
I love candles. Don't you, Lori? Brandon?
Give me your Grey House.
Lori cuddles Cassie tightly.
I have to. I'm a
Been living here on borrowed time. Some might even say stolen. So it's gonna have to be my last night here at Gray House.
Well, it's just for the time being.
But what about your bicentennial garden party?
Well, it's not my garden anymore.
Just use your magic to make it like it was before.
It's just a house. Each one of you means more to me than any 10 houses.
But Gray House is your house.
Well, I'm not going to discuss this anymore on an empty stomach, right? Let's go have dinner.
A roaring log fire illuminates the dining room as they sit around the table eating their dinner.
Gray House won't be the same without you, Cassie.
Well, cheer up, all of you. I'm not out of here yet.
Yeah, but the magic's gone. Already. I can feel it.
What do you mean?
I know what Brandon's talking about. There's a chill in here. I haven't felt it before.
Guess we're all feeling pretty low.
But the magic hasn't gone away. It's still working.
You still believe?
I asked you for help with Jess, remember? Because I thought she was lazy. But she told me something she's never told anybody. Reading is really, really hard for her. But now she's getting help. Special classes after school. And you know what? The report is gonna be great. I'm doing the reading, and she's doing these beautiful illustrations.
Yeah, but you're still doing a ton of work.
But I don't mind, because Jess told me her secret. And I helped her. That's the real magic, isn't it? Helping other people.
Sometimes you have to dig a little deeper.
Trust in the truth will show itself.
Laurie's absolutely right. We've all got plenty to be cheerful about.
At the end of the evening, Cassie escorts the children out of the house under a large umbrella. The men hang behind in the doorway.
I love the pie.
Oh, it was good, huh?
Shh. What is it?
I'll be very, very quiet. Did you hear that?
What?
The ring? Now listen carefully. You hear the garden grow.
But it's November. I thought the growing season was over.
Always growing. Always changing.
Mm-hmm. Hey, George. Do you mind walking the kids home? They're just, I'd like to talk to Cassie, just the two of us alone.
Sure thing.
George pats Jake on the back, then heads out of the house to catch up with Cassie and the children.
Cassie, thanks, but here.
Brandon hands the mirror over to Cassie. She wipes it clean, then hands it back.
There. Maybe the image wasn't clear.
But
I'll make you a deal. Don't give up on that mirror, and I won't give up on Gray House.
Okay.
Bit of rain falling?
Yes, it's a bit romantic, isn't it, George?
I'm a little too old for that kind of thing.
Some of the best things bloom late in the season. You know, I almost forgot. Would you mind stopping by the nursery early in the morning and picking up some night-flowering jasmine for me?
Sure thing.
Where are you sleeping tomorrow night, Cassie?
Oh, well, there's a small space over my shop.
You could stay with me in my room.
Come here.
Let's go, kids.
Okay, good night. Thank you.
Good night.
With love in his eyes, Jake watches Cassie from the doorway. Inside, Cassie tends to the rejuvenated truth plant.
So what did the lawyer say about Nick's documents?
She said there's nothing she can do. But we can.
Jake, I didn't want to say this in front of the kids, but...
But what?
When I was packing, I noticed that my diary had been tampered with.
Okay. Well, we can send it in for prints. And do me a favor, the next time he has a cup of tea, keep the cup and we'll send that in for prints as well.
I'll put some mugwort under my pillow tonight.
Good. Why?
Dreams, Jake. I can go anywhere in my dreams.
You know, between your amazing intuition...
And your forensic genius.
See, how did you know I was going to say that? It's all going to work out.
You know, this is not just about losing the house. I was so honored to be the Gray Lady's great, 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 great something. And now everyone's saying she's a swindler.
Well, you're still great, Cassie. And she wasn't a thief.
How do you know that?
Because good cops have an intuition of their own. I love you.
It really is a truth plant, huh? I love you too.
And I have to go.
Okay. Okay.
Good night.
Good night, Jake. Good night, Nick.
Nick's surprised that he has been caught out eavesdropping on the couple from the hallway. The next day, Cassie is in the orangery watering her plants. Nick enters the room wearing his dressing gown.
Are you still here?
Well, I was just about to leave. I'll be back, though. To remove all the things that are going with me. I'm leaving the plants.
Oh, please take them. I'm not very good with plants.
Well, sure you are.
No, really. I wouldn't know what to do with them.
Nick, you just cultivate them the way you've cultivated so many friendships here in Middleton.
Cassie, I hope there are no hard feelings about this.
Hard feelings. What a phrase. Feelings are tender. And the moment they become hard, you're not really feeling anymore.
Cassie gives Nick a knowing look. At home in his bedroom, Brandon takes the mirror out of his rucksack and takes a long, hard look at his reflection.
Brandon, we're gonna be late for school.
Coming. Hi, Dad.
Hi.
I was just checking to see if I should shave.
Ah.
So, you probably want to know where I'm going tonight, right?
No. I trust you.
Really?
Really.
Since when?
Since a friend of mine helped me see myself a little differently. Come on down for breakfast.
Father and son embrace. Jake exits the room, leaving Brandon smiling and nodding to himself as he takes another look in the mirror. Martha walks along a street in Middleton.
Oh, Nick! Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Hello! I left you several messages regarding the bicentennial.
Yes, I was meaning to get back to you.
Oh, we can discuss it at this morning's meeting.
About that.
I was thinking that you could dress up as your ancestor, Sea Captain Charles Hamblin, naval waistcoat, powdered wig. Oh, well, listen to me. I imagine you're swimming in ideas for the bicentennial garden party, and as the new owner of Gray House, I suspect you're going to be setting a very different tone than Miss Nightingale did. Something tasteful and worldly, as opposed to otherworldly, if you know what I mean.
Well, Martha, this is where we go our separate ways.
Oh, but the early bird bicentennial meeting...
Yes, unfortunately. Other business draws me away this morning.
Other business? I don't mean to pry, but...
Then don't.
Nick rudely turns his back on Martha and walks off down the street. Martha is looking troubled and speechless.
Oh, my.
At the garden centre.
George?
Gwen, let me help you with that horse manure.
It's enriched topsoil.
Horse manure. I'll bet you think I'm still spreading it around, don't you?
I have noticed that the real gardeners are the ones down here when the store opens.
Mary and I were always up at dawn. She used to say, the early bird catches the worm, or the grub beetle, or the white fly.
She was an avid gardener.
Avid? She was rabid. Pests used to jump off the leaves just to look at her.
How's Lori?
Oh, she couldn't be better.
Two of you seem very close.
Yes, we are. Sometimes I think it's easier to talk to your grandpa than for your own parent.
You listen to her. People don't do that so much anymore. Really listen to children.
You have grandchildren?
Two adorable twin boys. But they live so far away, out on the West Coast. Those two used to play in my garden together. They used to pick all my berries.
Lori, too. You call her my berry baby.
It's nice running into you, George.
Gwen, Cassie sent me here to pick up a plant.
That's so funny.
Oh, Cassie. She's quite a lady. She's probably expecting me, but I have a feeling she wouldn't mind if I asked you out for a cup of coffee. Would you join me?
Sure.
In the library, Laurie and Jesse sit at a table covered with books doing their project.
I've got it.
What?
The big event we need for our history report. The blizzard of 1816. Laurie, that's it!
That's how this thing saved his life. He had a vegetable garden.
And without the garden, he would have died of starvation that winter.
See if you can find any more books about the weather that winter.
Okay.
Laurie gets up from the table and crosses the room to a tall wooden bookcase.
Find anything?
No.
As she pulls out a couple of books, she notices another book that has fallen behind the bookcase.
Lori, what are you doing?
Just digging a little deeper.
Reaching behind the books, Lori manages to retrieve the small hardback book. She blows off the dust, revealing its title, The Captain and the Grey Lady.
This is amazing.
What is it?
It's a book of stories by Elizabeth Merriwick.
Who?
Grey Lady.
Oh.
A handwritten inscription inside the cover reads,
For all the children of Middleton, from your friend, the Grey Lady.
Laurie smiles at her friend. In town, Martha plasters a cancelled notice over a Middleton bicentennial poster. Inside the bakery's tea room, Jake and Cassie sit at a table together.
He joined the Bicentennial Committee to gain access to the Historical Society Library. He used old land records to fake his documents.
Sure they're fake?
I had a hunch, so I sent the documents to a lab.
Do you know why Nick was asking about your taxes? Mm-hmm. Wanted to know the total cost to take over your property. Things are adding up.
Yeah, but will it be enough and in time to stop this?
Selling Grey House? I guess he wasn't so proud of his legacy after all.
Mm. Yeah, and he claimed to love Middleton.
I've been investigating some recent real estate fraud. All the cases use the same method.
What method?
Suspect would show up with a prior chain of title, take over the deed for next to nothing. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, then he turns around and sells the property to developers.
Develop Grey House into what?
Well, a farmhouse was knocked down to make room for a strip mall. It won't happen, Cassie. We won't let him sell. I'll get an injunction.
It's hard enough to think of losing your home, but the thought of...
Listen, no matter what happens, you have a home. With me and Lori and Brandon and George. My home. It could be your home, too. Hi.
Big discovery at the library.
Jake, it's a book by Elizabeth Merriwick, the Grey Lady.
There's lots of stories about her sea captain.
What? It looks like it's all about Charles Hamblin.
Well, there might be something in there that contradicts Nick's claim to Grey House.
It contradicts everything.
How's that?
Well, the stories in here about the sea captain are just that. Stories. It's a work of fiction. Good job.
Later, Jake pulls up in his squad car outside Grey House. Jake and Cassie get out of the vehicle and make their way to the front door. Jake tries the latch on the door. It's open. The couple let themselves in, then close the door behind them. They find Nick in the orangery in his dressing gown, reading a book.
Mr. Chasen.
I gave you the right.
Maybe I should read you your rights.
The documents about your claim to Grey House are forgeries, aren't they?
Of course not.
Well, they look better than the real thing.
The chain of title had a few rusty links.
We discussed this in the parlor. It's getting a little hot in here.
Nick barges past the couple and makes his way into the living room. He takes a seat in an armchair next to the truth plant.
Perhaps you should be making these accusations through an attorney.
Boy, I wanted to give you a chance to speak for yourself.
You're too kind.
Jake, would you move the Veritas out of the sun?
Jake moves the plant nearer to Nick.
Perfect.
I'll be blunt. Show me your evidence or hit the road.
Exhibit A.
So?
Tales of Captain Hamblin.
Lots of people write stories about people they know.
They're fiction.
And your claim to Grey House is fiction. Let me tell you a story, Nick. It's about a guy that thought that he could use chemicals to age title documents.
As Nick sneezes, Jake and Cassie smile at each other.
But there was this cop who took those title documents to a lab. Now, it took an expert forensic chemist, but guess what he found?
I have no idea.
Superstitious, Nick?
Look, I think you should both leave.
Before you call the police? You ever heard of a guy named Charlie Higgins?
Never.
Tom Breck?
No.
I think you have, because it's you. You've been pulling the same crime all over the state using different names.
Nonsense.
You can change your name, you can change your address, you can even change your looks, but you can't change your fingerprints, Nick.
You don't own Grey House, do you? The truth, Nick.
Have it your way.
At least let me get changed.
Oh.
Jake, every man has a right to change.
Nick nods at Cassie, then slopes out of the room. Upon hearing the screeching cat, Jake darts out of the room to investigate. Now dressed, Nick creeps round the side of the house. In the process of trying to escape, his hand gets tangled up in a creeper growing up the side of the house. He frees himself from the plant, rubs his hand, then trips as his feet get entwined in the plant's roots. He crashes down onto the paving slabs. Frantically, he wriggles free of the creeper. As he makes a dash for it, he finds Cassie defiantly blocking his way.
What are you gonna do?
You've hurt a lot of people, Nick. And I can't let you continue.
You're not gonna stop me.
No, she won't, but I will, Nick. You know, I've got a half a dozen people in this state that are willing to testify about the things you've done wrong.
I am going... That plant... I'm gonna sue you for damages.
I gave you enough rope. You're the one who tied yourself up in knots.
With his hands handcuffed behind his back, Nick snarls at Cassie. In town, Brandon rides his bike along the pavement of a busy high street. He gets off his bike and props it up against a parking meter. He takes off his helmet, then removes his mobile phone from his jacket pocket as a text message comes in. It reads, "It's on today at 4. Then...
It's on today at 4. Be there.
Looking unsure, Brandon stands contemplating the demands of the message. At the bicentennial celebration party, guests mingle in the colourful mature gardens of Grey House.
No, I think we should take up gardening.
Really? Mm. Yeah, sure, that'd be nice.
Oh, good. I'll hire someone tomorrow. Oh! Yahoo!
Martha hollers across the garden to Cassie, then rushes over to greet her.
There you are. You know, I knew that
that man was trouble the moment I laid eyes on him.
Really? Most everyone thought that Nick was terrific and that I was the problem.
Oh, really? I have to admit, you have done a beautiful job with this party.
Oh, thank you, Martha.
But please keep your comments to a minimum. After all, the fireworks are set for 7.
Well, Martha, I will follow your example, and I will try not to talk too much.
Martha's fake smile quickly fades as she absorbs Cass's backhanded compliment. Hiding in the bushes within the garden, Steve and Duke spy on the guests.
It's gonna be great.
I know. Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Waiting for you.
You're gonna light a fire?
Firecrackers. We're gonna throw them up in the air where they're dancing.
Then they'll really be dancing.
Oh, we might get caught.
How? It's gonna be a stampede, like a riot.
A laugh riot.
Well, what if somebody gets hurt?
Look, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. So do it or you're out.
Man, I told you not to trust some stupid cops kid.
Duke shoves Brandon backwards. As he stumbles, the mirror falls to the ground. As he goes to pick it up, he catches sight of his reflection.
You know what? My dad's a good guy. He's a lot smarter than you morons.
Brandon! Steve! Duke! Just the three I was looking for. I see you like firecrackers. Well, the fireworks are starting soon, and I need 3 men to help keep the kids at a safe distance.
Us?
It's a big responsibility, but you'll be closer to the action than anyone else.
The boys exchange an agreeable look.
Check in with Mayor Tinsdale.
Steve and Duke nod, then part the branches of the foliage and disappear off. Smiling, Cassie approaches Brandon.
So, did you take a good long look at yourself?
Yeah. I liked what I saw.
Cassie nods at Brandon. Then, with a contented look, Brandon walks off. Later that night, the guests take to the dance floor. Martha is dancing with her husband, and George dances with Grace. Laurie and Jessie are seated at a table around the side of the dance floor.
I love your corsage.
Thanks. Cassie gave it to me yesterday. It doesn't wilt.
The girls look awfully cute.
Adorable. Oh, and look at those two.
George.
You're a pretty good dancer, George.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Man who can garden and dance.
And cook. Just ask the girls in your garden club. I'm quite a catch.
Where's that granddaughter of yours?
Speak to the angels.
Guess what? We spoke to Mr. Bartlett, our history teacher, and we both got A's.
Congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
Terrific. That's so good.
Ladies and gentlemen of Middleton, honored guests, I want to thank you for coming by to visit the oldest home in Middleton, Gray House. It was built by a remarkable woman, and I'm honored to stand here 200 years later and call it my home. I intend to give it all the love and care that I possibly can so that 200 years from tonight, others will stand here and say, as we do, what a wonderful home. I want to extend a special thank you to each and every citizen of Middleton for pulling together and donating what they could so that we could have our grand finale.
So generous.
Girls?
Laurie and Jessie take to the stage. Then Laurie hands Jessie a card to read from.
Ladies and gentlemen.
A little bit louder.
The best place for the fireworks is on the south lawn.
Shall we go to the south lawn?
The guests disperse as they make their way over to the south lawn.
Cassie, you're quite a host.
It's the guests who make the party.
Oh, you always seem to have the right words to say.
Aw, thank you. Do you mind if we watch from here? I like my fireworks from a distance. They look like little spring flowers.
Yeah, sure. So, do you think it was a lucky chain of events?
Lucky?
Yeah, that the whole town came together to pay for these fireworks after Nick ruined our plans.
Hmm. Well, maybe that was the plan.
I might have a trick of my own up my sleeve.
Jake reaches deep into his pocket and pulls out a ring box.
Open it.
Inside the box is a solitaire diamond ring. Jake removes it from the box and slides it down Cass's engagement finger.
Marry me?
As the happy couple kiss, the brightly coloured fireworks explode in the dark night sky beyond them.
I hope the magic never fades.
It won't. Trust me.
Cuddling, Jake and Cassie admire the firework display. The end.